Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 9 of Dudes on Hockey. It's the middle of summer. This could be the slowest 2 weeks of the entire year for hockey, but we're still here. We're still podcasting about the Sharks, and we're also podcasting because it is Doug's birthday today. Happy birthday, dude.
Dude, thank you. I'd like to send a shout out, a little happy birthday, good wishes to me.
How very kind of you.
Thanks. You know what I want for my birthday, dude?
What's that?
Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup.
Can you get that for me?
I will do my best, but it may take me about 9 or 10 months to get it for you.
I'm willing to invest the time, Mike. I'm willing to invest the time and sit through all those LA Kings games.
And Lord knows we invested the money already.
Yes, we did. You know the hockey season's close when the Sharks call and ask for your final payment.
That's right.
So we're gonna thank you, airline miles.
Yeah, good for you. I wrote a check.
Dumbass.
Sorry. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about, we're going to take some emails later in the show, and we're going to be continuing a discussion we had a few weeks ago about who's not done. We're going to be talking about the Eastern Conference this time, and we might even be able to put in a little trivia there at the end for Doug.
Birthday trivia.
Doug made me look stupid last week, so it's my turn to return the favor this week.
Wouldn't say I made you look stupid, Mike. I just say a little bit challenged, yeah. But not stupid.
Challenged, yeah. I think I was Simple Jack last week with the Sharks trivia.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that. Tropic Thunder reference.
But anyway, we last week we talked about how Joe was sort of getting the short end of the stick from some hockey writers, and we sort of see it again this week. We saw it with some blog posts sort of excoriating the hockey news for putting out their top 50 players, and Joe Thornton is number 21, which to me seems extraordinarily low. Most other bloggers that I've seen that have commented have said the same thing. So let me talk about a couple of the players that were ranked above Joe. Of course, we have players like Crosby and Ovechkin and Zetterberg and Datsyuk and these kinds of guys. Lidstrom, you know, it's no-brainers, right? But then we start getting into some players that I sort of scratch my head at. For instance, number 10, Danny Heatley. He scores a lot of goals. That's probably why they put him in the top 10. But is Danny Heatley is he really more valuable than Joe?
Let me ask you something, Mike. Has Danny Heatley won the Hart Trophy?
No, he's not.
Then he's not.
It's just that simple.
Has Danny Heatley won the Art Ross?
No.
Enough said. Joe's like the Rodney Dangerfield of hockey.
He is a little bit. I mean, we're talking about some other players sort of along the same lines. Daniel Alfredson, no. a very good player.
Good player. Not better than Joe.
Is he better than Joe? No. Marian Gaborik?
That's a joke.
I don't see that. I mean, how is that possible? I guess he's been in the news a lot. People are talking about him getting $9 million and things like that. But is he honestly better than a guy who scores 100 points a year? He scored 300 and something points in the last 3 years. I mean, Marian Gaborik? And as we talked about last week, Joe isn't a playoff choker, despite what people would like you to believe. And Marian Gaborik doesn't have any better playoff performance than Joe. Certainly, he's never won the Stanley Cup. And as far as I know, he's only been to the Western Conference Finals once. So it's not like he's some sort of, you know, Esatikin in here. How do you like that reference?
77, 48, and 65. Do you know what that is, Mike?
The combination of my locker in high school.
The amount of games Gaborik has played in the last 3 years.
Right. And so you're going
to 48, 65, and 77. Yeah, that guy's a durable. He can't be higher than Joe. That's trash.
Right. We got a couple goalies. Actually, they rank Nabby higher than Joe, which I could sort of see. I don't agree with it. Lundqvist, higher than Nabby for one, which definitely doesn't. Just buggers the imagination. And higher than Joe, I don't get that either. And they also put Eric Staal ahead of Joe Thornton. Now, if you took every GM out there and you made every player a free agent, even though Staal is only 23, how many people do you think would honestly take Staal over Joe Thornton?
Cliff Fletcher.
Yeah. Cliff Fletcher has been our
Depends on his medication dose.
He's been our whipping boy the last few shows. I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon.
It really depends.
But anyway.
It depends on if Golden Girls is on reruns.
in Matlock, Murderer Road.
Now someone put my teeth in.
It's something to talk about, so I invite you all to check it out. You can go to thehockeynews.com and check out their rankings. They also put out rankings of how they think teams might finish in their respective conferences, and we might get to that next week because they made some interesting picks there as well. So that might be a decent topic of conversation in future shows. But for now, we are actually going to go straight to the email. So you can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com, especially if you are tired of what we are talking about and want us to talk about something different. I definitely invite you to send us an email, and you know, you can call us all manner of things as long as you're interesting about it, and we'll be happy to read your email on the air. So
absolutely.
The first email is from Steve from Palo Alto. And Steve puts a very important question forward, so I want to make sure that we spend some time on it. So the discussion you guys had in the last podcast about Douglas Murray's future got me thinking about the future of our blue line. Let's make some assumptions. Wilson extends Vlasic, Blake does not resign, Murray and McLaren are gone, and Petrecki is given an entry-level contract. We are left with a relatively young defensive core with a lot of upside, but only one legit puck mover. I'm assuming he means Boyle. I understand the Blake assumption is a big question mark in that he could pull a JR this year, but if that doesn't happen, what do you think of the prospects we have for the blue line?
Great question. Especially with Carl and Wishart, you know, being traded away, you know, those two guys are considered to be the future of the Sharks blue line, along with Petrecki, who I think is the most valued piece of that puzzle, mm-hmm. and Vlasic. Now, it's a pretty big problem on the horizon.
Yeah, the cupboard is bare, is sort of the way I would put it. Once we get past Petrecki, then we start talking about Derek Jocelyn, who is not a highly ranked prospect by Hockey's Future, and I think even the most optimistic view would put him at a third-pairing defenseman, sort of scratching for ice time.
This is why I think it's pretty possible in the next, you know, could be in the next month, it could be over the course of this season, that we're going to see our depth up front traded away. Maybe not, you know, I'm talking about one player mm-hmm. traded away to get back this defensive prospect that we lost. And a name that kind of jumped out at me is, and you look at a team like Nashville that's pretty thin up front, especially with Radulov gone. They've got some depth on the AHL and at the lower NHL level. A guy like Kevin Klein hasn't had a chance to play yet. Maybe, you know, you could interest them in one of our higher salary forwards and get back a high-end defensive prospect. We'll see.
Yeah. It's clearly the biggest thing. And actually, Steve, it's an interesting point, because this question sort of makes me rethink about whether the Sharks should re-sign Murray next year. And you assume it in your question, but if you know, if Petrecki is thought to make the club, and there's really nothing else in the pipeline, then maybe the Sharks will need to overpay. You know, Blake will leave, and we'll have to overpay a little bit to keep Murray, because otherwise we're not going to have much left.
It doesn't really solve the power play problem unless Petrecki's going to jump right in there, or unless Vlasic makes big strides this year on the power play, which he might. But when we talked about the unrestricted free agents coming up on the horizon, there's not a ton of mm-hmm. really interesting young players coming up. So, you know, again, and not that they would come to the Sharks anyways, because no one wants to come
right
for some bizarre reason. So I think, you know, the trade front is where we could see this solved.
But it's a great question, Steve. I think you sort of hit right on the heads the biggest pending question for this team long term, at least in the next year or two. And
absolutely,
there's lots of wingers out there that we have, and there, we got some centermen, but we just don't seem to have a lot of D. So We'll definitely be paying attention to that, and I expect any moves the Sharks make before the season might very well address that need. So let's go on to the next question. Our buddy Ian up in the Great White North has a question more about the overall hockey landscape rather than the Sharks, and actually it's about this news about the new Russian league called the Continental Hockey League. And he says, what do you guys think of the KHL's effect on the NHL going forward? And if you're Doug Wilson with a first-round pick, in keeping the KHL in mind, do you take the best player available or the best North American player available?
I would take the best North American player available. The Sharks aren't really in a position to, I think, be playing games with first-round picks, especially because they don't have one next year. But right. if they were able to pull it off, I don't think he would go out there and take a gamble on a long shot on maybe a player that might not come, unless you had a guarantee like Filatov, who is signed and is coming and is going to be part of Columbus's future, you know, it's a little risky, don't you think?
Sure. Actually, you know, I would say that most organizations are actually already taking that into account. Even before the KHL sort of came into being, I know teams made draft decisions based on who they thought might really be interested in coming to the NHL or not, you know, specifically Russian players. And I don't see that changing. It may get even more important going forward now that players are getting big money to play in Russia. But I think it exists already in terms of a drafting decision. And a guy like Alexei Cherepanov a couple years ago, you know, there are questions about his skill set and his commitment. But I think part of it is people weren't exactly sure if he was going to come and play in the U.S. So,
and he's not here.
And he's not here. So, you know, that's, I think that's sort of an object lesson for a lot of GMs around the league. And I don't think it's going to make a huge dent on great talent in the NHL. I think, you know, there may be some great Russian players that may choose to play there. But in terms of even Swedes and Finns, I think most likely those best players are still going to come to the NHL to play. So
it's a different situation over there, as you can see, as we're going to get into another sport here, Mike, with soccer. And we're seeing it now with basketball. But with soccer, players are bought and sold over there. Mm-hmm. They can transfer from team to team just for cash. You sell, you know, their contract, they're loaned out to other teams, you know, and I think that's the sort of system that they're used to. And then you come over here and poach a player out of the NHL who breaks his contract to go play somewhere else, that's frowned upon. But aren't we really kind of doing the same thing to them?
I think we are. I mean, I don't know if, are we breaking contracts, existing contracts?
Well, what about a player like Jason Krog, who, isn't there a dispute involving him?
I think there is. I don't know the details of that, but I think that was sort of the situation. But, you know, it sort of comes down to the same fact, is that the NHL and the KHL need some sort of transfer agreement, like you mentioned, with soccer. And they need to be able to swap players around and at least have some sort of legal framework in place that if a player wants to go from one to the other, that there's a process for doing that. And I think we're going to see that knocked out. That's been in the news the last couple of days. I think we'll see some fruition with that, you know, after some posturing on both sides. But there'll be something there that, because it's in both leagues' best interest to try and, you know, create that competition for players. So, you know, if you're really worried about teams getting, you know, just poaching players outright for tons of money, then it's really going to hurt owners on both sides of the pond. So, but that's a good question. Thanks for the question, Ian. Okay, so let's go into the discussion that we started a couple weeks back, and that's who is not done. We talked about which West teams, the Sharks are one of those teams, were over the cap. The Kings, the Blackhawks, we thought weren't done. They might have to get rid of a goaltender. But let's turn to the other side of the country. Let's turn to the East. So which teams in the Eastern Conference do you think are not done?
Ottawa.
Okay.
They still have a major piece unsigned in Mazaros, or is it Mezaros? Mazaros.
I think it's Mazaros.
Mezaros. He's unsigned. You know, is he going to get traded? Is he going to be signed? That they can't be happy with their goaltending situation. That needs to be addressed, don't you think?
Sure. I think so. I mean, Gerber lost the job to Ray Emery, who was run out of town. I mean, you know, it seemed like they were happy when they got Alex Auld, which is certainly not any sort of solution. So I don't.
What are you talking about? He's great.
Yeah, Alex Auld. He was back.
He got rejected by the Coyotes, Panthers, and Bruins.
And the Canucks, don't forget. I think he was in the Luongo deal. But
what about the Florida-Toronto business here? They seem like they're not done.
Yeah, McCabe has got to be on the move at some point. There's been so much rumors about that. I think he's waiting for some sort of bonus to happen at the beginning of September. But I think they're going to eventually convince him that, listen, you know, we'll crucify you in the press unless you decide to accept a trade someplace. And I think he's unfortunately going to do that.
Do you think over a bottle of Ensure
for Fletcher,
Fletcher and Martin got together, and this is going to be a bigger deal with Bouwmeester? Is Bouwmeester going to be moved before the season or in season, Mike?
If I hope they try to get value for him, because I think the chances of him staying in Florida are pretty much nothing.
Now, we're talking about Florida here, Mike. Didn't exactly get great value for Jokinen.
Well, they got two defensemen. I mean, they got more value for Jokinen than I think they can rightly expect for Bouwmeester.
I mean, it's like if we traded Murray and McLaren for Jokinen, wouldn't you be dancing in the streets for that one?
Yes, I would.
I mean, I have a feeling that when this deal goes down, no matter what it is, It's going to be funny.
It's probably going to be bad for both teams somehow. It's like they're going to trade with each other and both teams are going to be worse. I don't really know how it's going to happen, but if any two teams can pull it off, it'll be Florida and Toronto.
Toronto trades McCabe and Cliff Fletcher's false teeth for Jacques Martin's dignity.
I thought that was already gone.
All right. Tampa Bay, their defense is pretty scary right now.
Yeah, here they got Ranger and
Picard, yeah, and Matt Carl,
and Wishart, and
O'Brien, Kuba. I mean, it's not good for a team that has playoff aspirations, and they have some depth up front. Sounds like another team I know. That's us. Yeah. But I mean, our blue line's in way better shape than theirs. But you know, for the future, it doesn't look bad. But for the present, don't they need to add a veteran defenseman?
If they were smart, I would think that they should sort of wait it out and see how the team gels with so many new players. And then if they're close to making a run for a playoff spot, then maybe make a move at the deadline. But these guys seem to like to pull the trigger. So I think you may be right. We may see them make a move. If it were me as the GM, I probably wouldn't look to make that move yet. But I think that could easily happen.
Any others?
I can't really. Actually, the Rangers, you know. You know, Shanahan says he wants to play for the Rangers. You know, Sundin has reportedly intimated that he might be interested in playing for the Rangers. I mean, why wouldn't they just ditch all their players and get those guys? Who cares? You know, it's like, what the hell else are they going to do? They got to do something. They got to sell newspapers. I think Madison Square Garden
doesn't
like
make
buy
any
the,
sense.
They should buy
me.
The New York that Post,
they,
and then they can.
They
just
have
sell
$700,000 of cap room that they're just going to get. They made such a big splash with Gomez and Drury, and now they're going to go, we've made a mistake, and we're going to trade away one of these guys. They've got to have no trade. Those guys, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Pipe dream. Right. Pittsburgh Penguins, Mike. Mm. Ryan Whitney out 3 to 5 months.
That's true.
How about Kyle McLaren?
That could be an interesting fit. I haven't really thought about that.
I've thought about it a lot, Mike. Mm. There's some players on their AHL team that I think could solve our depth problem, our young problem, as far as not having some prospects on the horizon that are under team control for a little while. They've got a player, his name's Paul Bissonnette, played in the AHL last year. We have their former coach here in San Jose.
He's going to know how good of a player he is.
Absolutely. This kid, 8 points, 145 penalty minutes, 6'3", 220, 23 years old. Doesn't he sound like a cheaper version of Douglas Murray?
He could be. I just hope he has the same ability.
They have so much depth there as far as young defensemen, and they don't need another player like that with Orpik already there. Bissonnette could be had. You heard it here first, Mike.
Okay. Well, write that down, Sharks fans. If Eklund puts it in on Hockey Buzz tomorrow, then we know where he got the rumor. Dudes on Hockey E1.
That's right.
All right. So let's go to the fun part of the show, and that's trivia. I think our trivia show may have gotten the best numbers yet, so that might be an indication that people like trivia. I know I love trivia, especially hockey trivia. So Doug embarrassed me last week. It's my turn to embarrass you this week, dude.
I wouldn't say I embarrassed you. I just mildly humiliated you.
Yeah, it was kind of bad. I, you know.
Dude, it's my birthday, so take it easy.
It was a little simple jack there for me last week.
Tropic Thunder again.
All right, so, okay, so in Sharks history, okay, so the theme for last week was penalty minutes, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So this week the theme is going to be a little bit easier, and it's just going to be points. Okay, so,
oh God.
Okay, this may not be too bad. Okay, so obviously Joe has been the Sharks' leading scorer more than once in Sharks history. Can you name the other three players who have been Sharks leading scorers for a season more than once? There's only three other players in Sharks history. Sharks have been around about 20 years.
Owen Nolan.
Okay, Owen Nolan's one. That's right.
Pat Falloon. son of a... I'm going to go with Sergei Makarov. Igor Larionov.
Both incorrect.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Bob Airy. Patrick Marleau.
Patrick Marleau is okay. One. Yeah. Okay. So who's the last one? An often overlooked shark, I think. But you'll kick yourself when you realize who it is.
Ulf Dahlin.
No, but he did lead. He led the Sharks in the lockout season in points. Actually, he had 34 points that year.
An often overlooked shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Led the team in points.
Two consecutive years.
Playoff years?
I think one of them was a playoff year.
Damfus.
No. Damfus didn't lead the Sharks in points any year.
Ray Whitney.
See, obviously, this is a very overlooked shark. Do you know it, Sharks fans?
Craig Janney.
Craig Janney led the Sharks 1 year. Can I give you a hint?
Yes.
Steve Shields?
Jeff Friesen.
Jeff Friesen is correct, yes. And it's awesome that you got it from the Steve Shields reference.
Did anybody get that right? Send us an email.
Yeah, I hope you got that right. Okay, so here's one that actually might be a little bit tougher, although it might be more in the news in terms of mentioned in broadcasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Who was the first Shark to reach 100 points in a Sharks uniform? So now we're obviously going back to the early 90s here.
100 points.
Yeah. Which Shark was the first Shark to reach 100 points? Not in a season, but, you know, in the Shark's uniform. So no one, at least according to my research, no Shark has scored 100 points in the season until Joe got here. So right. Who's the right. first Shark to get 100 points combined throughout their first seasons as a Shark?
Wow.
Yeah. It's a name that you've heard before. It's not like some, you know, it's not some crazy, it's not Dale Craigwell. So that's one down.
100 points. Wow. Gosh, Mike, I think I'm stumped. Give me a multiple.
Okay. So the choices are A, Pat Falloon. B, Johan Garpenlof.
I'm going to take the bait on Garpenlof. I'm pretty sure that's who it is.
It's not.
It's not
Garpenlof, no.
I don't know.
Kelly Kissio.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? That makes sense.
Yeah. Shoot. He led the Sharks in points the second season. And Falloon really dropped off his second season after leading the Sharks in 91-92. And
well, now who's Kissio humiliated now? You got me, Mike.
I got you. So I'm sure it's your turn
happy
to get me.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, dude. And thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. We look forward to talking to you all again. Send us your emails. And you can read us at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And we'll talk to you again next week. Same time, same place.
I hope you know who's fifth in shorthanded goals in Sharks history, because that's just coming anyway.
Oh, no.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.